Welcome to the March 2014 issue of Dialogues in Dermatology. The American Academy of Dermatology is accredited by the Accreditation Council for Continuing Medical Education to provide continuing medical education for physicians. The American Academy of Dermatology designates this enduring material for a maximum of 2 AMA PRA Category 1 credits. Physicians should claim only the credit commensurate with the extent of their participation in the activity. This activity is recognized by the American Academy of Dermatology for 2 AAD recognized credits and may be used toward the AAD CME award. Participation in this activity is completed by listening to dialogues on CD or a downloaded MP3 file, achievement of a 70% or higher score on the post-test, and completion of an activity evaluation. The date of original release for this issue is March 2014. The expiration date is February 2017. At the conclusion of this learning activity, participants should be able to identify complications associated with decorative tattoos, including bacterial infections, staph infections, irritant reactions, and non-tuberculosis mycobacterial infections. Identify ergonomic modifications for the office which can decrease repetitive stress injuries, and identify the skin manifestations of HIV, including methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus infections, lipodystrophy, dysplasia, warts, and anal intraepithelial neoplasia. All contributors, including editors, interviewees, reviewers, and staff, reported they have no relevant relationships with commercial interests. A comprehensive list of disclosed financial relationships is available in the syllabus.
Welcome back to Dialogues in Dermatology. This is Terry Cronin, your editor-in-chief. This is Dialogues in Dermatology for March 2014, Volume 70, Issue 3. This month we have three incredible dialogues describing complications in decorative tattoos, ergonomics, and skin manifestations of HIV. Tattooing the skin is an often misunderstood ancient practice that continues to be a popular form of self-expression. In our first dialogue this month, we joined Dr. Mishy Shanahara and Dr. Maurice Thu for an illustrative discussion on tattoos and some of the side effects and infections that we can see when patients present with body art.
It's my pleasure today to welcome Dr. Mishy Shanahara. And Dr. Shanahara is a clinical assistant professor of dermatology at the University of Washington. And what we're going to talk about is tattoos, side effects, their problems associated with tattoos. And she knows a lot about this subject. Welcome, Dr. Shanahara.
Thank you.
There's an enormous number of tattoos at this point. I mean, I'm astonished by how many people are tattooed. Do you have any numbers on that? Do you know how many people actually get tattoos?
It's roughly 40% of people under aged 40, according to a big research poll in 2006. So I estimate that it's even higher now.
But in some places, like New York State, you're not allowed to have a tattoo under the age of 18. Is that true in most of the states, by the way?
No, I don't think that's true in most states. The regulation of tattooing is totally state, sometimes county dependent. There are some states that have very minimal regulation.
Are there many controls over the tattooers, the tattoo artists themselves? If so, what are they?
Again, kind of relates to the state or county, and it's very variable. In Washington State, where I'm from, the requirements are very slim. The person tattooing has to be over 18. They have to fill out a one-page application. They have to undergo bloodborne pathogen training, and then they pay a fee, and they're off.
What about training? Do they have to be trained?
There's no requirement in my state for training, but in some other states, like Alaska, they have to have hundreds of hours of apprenticeship. It's very variable.
So there must be a huge difference amongst the skill levels of the
people doing
the tattoo.
Yeah.
What's the basis of the technique?
So the basis is very similar to the original principles of just applying some type of ink on a sharp instrument and having it inserted into the dermis. But rather than using just a stick or a sharp tool, now people use the modern tattoo machine, where it's an oscillating needle that's sort of similar to a doorbell unit, where a circuit is closed, the needle is driven into the skin, and it's repeated as many times as you want. So now tattoo inks are just made by dipping the needle into tattoo ink. It's drawn up as capillary action and then inserted with the machine.
So it's much more controlled, though. I mean, the depth is going to be
much
more controlled.
The depth is still up to the tattoo artist.
Well, it is.
Yes.
We all know that there can be problems with tattoos.
Definitely.
What are the main side effects?
Yeah, the majority, there are a lot of people who are tattooed, and the majority of people have zero problems. I just think based on the sheer number of people tattooed, you know, we can say in general that they're safe. But I think common reactions include irritant reactions after tattooing from either bandages, low-grade bacterial infections, staph infections, all the way over to non-mycobacterial tuberculosis infections.
So in fact, it says here 2%. Is that about right?
That's what's been estimated in some papers, yeah, 2% rate of reactions.
Only about 2% of these patients, though, are having a problem. Quite low.
It's low, especially when you consider how many people are tattooed.
When it comes to it, though, we know that you can develop allergies. What do they break out from? I mean, I think the materials that are used are quite different, are they not, from what we used several years ago?
I think they're quite different, but what's very challenging is to actually find out what's being used, period. Because if you look at a bottle of tattoo ink, oftentimes it will just say water, isopropyl alcohol, and proprietary. They won't even list the ingredients, so it's very difficult to know. But these days, most of the inks are, especially the very bright colors, are composed of these azo dyes. Mm-hmm. But there are still a lot of metals found, like the zinc oxides, the nickel, and
there's nickel. See, that's astonishing to me that there's nickel, because when you think of all the people who are allergic to nickel, you would think there'd be a lot of reactions, either then or later, for that matter, when people become allergic to nickel.
Yeah, people have done mass spectroscopy studies of tattoo ink. What they define as allergenic levels of nickel in a lot of tattoo inks.
What other materials that make up the inks?
So there's some type of metal organic azo dye that makes the actual color pigment, and then usually it's some type of vehicle, water, alcohol, glycerin. And that's it.
Is there any mercury in those dyes now?
I think there's some, but for the most part, mercury made up a lot of the red dyes, the cinnabar. For the most part, the shift has been to the azo dyes. They're much brighter colors, and purportedly they may last longer in the skin.
What makes up the red dyes?
Mostly these azo dyes now. I think you still can find mercury if you look for it, but mostly the azo dyes.
Cadmium as well?
Same with cadmium, less of that. I think most of the azo dyes are the yellow to reds. A lot of the blues still contain cadmium and yellow.
What else is in the dye? I mean, what other things can we think of that people can break out from?
So people have looked at the dyes just to see, what is there anything potentially allergenic or carcinogenic in there, and they've found phthalates, there's been found benzophenones, nanoparticles, you know, any one of a number of potential problematic substances can be found in tattoo inks if you look.
I'd heard that there's some material that you can get from soot in tattoo. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think that black inks are still made of carbonaceous materials, and they have some dibutyl phthalates in them. Yeah.
What are the main side effects, you'd think, in terms of tattooing? First of all, allergy?
I think allergy is definitely potential.
Does it occur within the few days? Does it occur later? Do you see much photoallergy anymore?
Yes and yes. Oh. I think reactions can occur any point from a few days up to a few months, after even a few years in the case of sarcoidal reactions to tattoo.
And what else, apart from the allergic reactions and maybe some, are you seeing as much photoallergic reactions as you did?
People described photoallergic reactions to yellow dyes, and there are still reactions reported like that, but I've never seen one.
What other side effects can we get? Incidentally, when you see the allergic reaction, is what we would expect, redness, swelling.
Yeah, and I think allergic reactions can comprise eczematous reactions, allergic contact dermatitis, even lichenoid reactions. Some of these granulomatous reactions might represent, you know, technically an allergic reaction.
How would you treat it?
Usually, if it's a mild reaction, topical steroids, you can inject intralesional steroids, but I think some people might choose to excise a tattoo. Maybe tattoo laser, although I think that's controversial.
Okay, and you said granulomatous reactions, right? And how would you treat those?
It depends on the type of granulomatous reaction. If it was a sarcoidal reaction, I think it's important to evaluate the patient for systemic sarcoidosis. I think any type of granulomatous tattoo reaction would be good to evaluate for that, because it's a potential. But I think you could still do the same thing, topical steroids. Maybe intralesional might work a little better.
How about infections? What kind of infections can one get from tattoos?
It runs the gamut. You can get local short-term staph infections just from puncturing the skin. There have been cases reported of leprosy, zygomycosis, cutaneous diphtheria. Yes, roadside tattooing in India has been associated with leprosy.
Yeah. Anything else?
We've seen some cases of non-tuberculous mycobacterial infections, both M. abscessus and M. chelonii, and there have been series of these reported in the past few years, outbreaks.
Okay, when you get the infection, where's the infection coming from? Is it poor hygiene on the part of the tattoo artist, or is it something
else? Not usually. Surprisingly enough, I think tattoo artists in general are really aware of the risk of infection and actually more educated than I initially thought when I was investigating this. But of the outbreaks that have been investigated, tap water has been one association. There was a big outbreak in France that was related to dilution of ink with tap water. Once an ink is opened, a tattoo artist can create shades by diluting it with whatever they want. And people were using undistilled, unpure purified tap water, and that was one of the sources. But there have been also cases from unopened ink.
So it's then in the manufacturing process, yes. Then? Is there controls over that?
No, the inks are not regulated in any way, and there's no requirement for sterility because they're not regulated.
Well, that's a big problem.
It seems like it would be. Well,
there was quite a big outbreak, I recall, of one of these organisms.
Yes.
The colonii infection. Can you tell us about that one?
One of the people who reported this came and spoke to us about it, but there was an outbreak of M. coloniae in tattoos in Rochester, New York, mm-hmm. which was associated with the ink, not with the practice of
how long
a tattoo
ago was
artist.
That?
It was pretty recent. It was 2011, late 2011, early 2012.
And what was the source of it?
It was the ink at the source of the manufacturing, from my understanding. We had a similar series in our state that was felt to be associated with the ink because they were able to isolate similar organisms in a few patients who were tattooed by the same tattoo artist. They weren't able to isolate the organism from the ink, but the manufacturer, when they were contacted, did report having multiple complaints from different tattoo artists around the country, so it was felt to be most likely, and they chose to voluntarily withdraw the ink, which was thoughtful of them.
Any other granulomatous reactions one can get?
I think you can get foreign body type. You can get ones that look like granuloma annulare, necrobiosis lipoidica. It can run the whole gamut.
There's one case that looked like tuberculosis, and one sort looked like lupus. Is that possible?
Yes, I think we saw an interesting case of a lupus-like, probably as a variant of a lichenoid type reaction. Yeah. But any skin disease that can kevnarize can show up in a tattoo, so cutaneous lupus has been reported to kevnarize.
All right. Now, what other kinds of side effects can one get from tattooing?
So one big issue that people will run into is when you see a pigmented lesion within a tattoo. Not necessarily a side effect of the tattoo, but I consider that a complication.
Do the tattoo artists try and avoid moles?
I think responsible ones do, but sometimes clients will go in there and say, I want this mole covered by a tattoo, and they'll purposefully try to obscure it, so they may not voluntarily know.
It must make it much more difficult to monitor then.
Definitely.
Any other reactions that one can get from tattoos? Things that are pseudocarcinomatous one.
Yes, I think definitely people can get pseudocarcinomatous, even keratoacanthoma, things that are histologically and clinically identical. Actually, frank squamous cell carcinoma has been reported to arise within tattoo. Any type of skin cancer actually can occur within a tattoo, and whether that's just a collision to incidence or not, I'm not sure. But pseudoepitheliomatous and pseudocarcinomatous reactions are quite common.
It must be very difficult to know, though, if a mole is, if you've got to change around a mole and there's the ink there. It's very difficult to interpret, isn't it?
I think it can be really challenging. As long as you're given warning of that, usually tattoo ink is a little darker than melanin. If it's black ink, you can tell the difference if you're alert, but you may not have been given that history, which would make it challenging.
I'd heard that you can get a pseudolymphomatous reaction in tattooing. Is that true?
You definitely can get pseudolymphomatous reactions from tattoo. I mean, they were very highly associated with red ink, and even after the shift from mercury-containing red to the azo dyes, people are still getting pseudolymphomatous reactions. Usually they look like B-cell lymphomas, you know, nodular infiltrates of lymphocytes, but they can also be mycosis fungoides-like, CTCL-like. And when people have looked, usually they're polyclonal with gene rearrangement studies, but there has been a case of an actual lymphoma arising in a long-standing pseudolymphomatous reaction, which is worrisome. And with the idea maybe being that with chronic antigen stimulus, you could develop a lymphoma.
How about warts? Do you get warts?
You could definitely get warts. Anything that can kevnarize, so molluscum, flat warts, regular warts.
Granted, you can have these side effects. My opinion, most people who have tattoos will regret them. It's only a matter of when. Not at the moment, of course, it's extremely common and they're very popular. Do you have a lot of problems when you try and get rid of them? And how effective is the removal process?
I think it depends on how they're tried to be removed. So tattoo laser can be very effective depending on the color, but I think our tattoo laser have evolved. People are also trying to develop easily laserable ink, so inks that are more easily dispersed with the tattoo laser. But actually there was a study that looked, a big nationwide poll that looked at people with tattoo, asking them, do you regret getting your tattoo? And less than a fifth of people do. I don't know how long people have had their tattoos that were asked that, but it's less than I had anticipated.
Well, a lot of people really regard that as a work of art, and they're very proud of their tattoos, as a matter of fact.
I think the overall culture is shifting, especially since, you know, all these under 40-year-olds who got the tattoos are going to age, and they're going to bring the tattoos with them. I think it's going to bring a shift in our general perception.
One thing that's always concerned me, though, is if you use a laser to try and get rid of the tattoo, you didn't actually get rid of the tattoo. What you did is mobilize the pigment.
You just dispersed it, that's
and,
right.
And then, where does it go? To the lymph nodes?
It goes to the reticular endothelial system, yeah.
And is that a good idea?
We don't know.
Is there any evidence of any significant dangers associated with this, or got no data at all?
There are cases reported of people who have had totally non-inflamed tattoo lasered and then had a reaction, a generalized reaction afterwards. And then, of course, there are people who have tattoo laser for already irritated tattoos that have a generalized reaction. So that's always a concern anytime you disperse an antigen systemically.
Are there any other kinds of tumors that one can get or have been described with tattooing?
Yeah, all kinds of tumors have been described. We talked about squamous cell carcinoma, basal cell carcinoma, dermatofibroma, sarcoma protuberans, melanoma, anything, leiomyosarcoma. They've all been reported.
And presumably it's very difficult to know the best way to treat them. First, you're not going to recognize them very well.
You might have difficulty recognizing them for sure. I think especially if you saw a dermatofibroma sarcoma protuberans, you might think it was a keloid arising after tattooing. But I think most people have approached these just treating the tumor like you would even if that tattoo was not present. I think that's your obligation.
Incidentally, how often do you see keloids in tattoos? You'd think it would be common.
I've seen someone who had a scarification procedure, not like a tattoo, but where they actually purposefully scarred the skin and then developed a keloid, which they didn't like. So I don't know why it couldn't happen. You're injuring the skin. And
how long have people been doing tattoos anyway? Give me some history of it.
Etsy the Iceman was found near Austria, and he dates back to 3300 BC. And he is one of the earliest documented humans to have tattoo. When his skin was examined, he was found to have these marks on his low back and behind his knees. And when he was x-rayed, they were found to correlate with areas of degenerative joint disease, with the thought being that they were therapeutic tattoos.
So people have been using tattoos for a long time, and yes, they're presumably going to keep on using them in the future. Just give us a summary. Where do you think we are in terms of decorative tattoos? What should we be doing in terms of protecting patients? Yeah. And in terms of care, what should we be doing?
Tattoos are incredibly popular. I think they're only increasing in popularity, along with all types of other body modification like scarification and piercing. So we're going to see them. We're going to see problems with all of them. And I think responsible people who want to get tattoos will go to professional tattoo parlors with licensed providers. They'll ask them to show them their equipment. They'll show them sterile equipment. They'll show them their unopened needle before they use it on their skin. They'll, of course, you know, ask to see other artwork that the person has done. And then they'll watch their tattoo carefully. And if there are problems, I think it's very important that the patient, the client, reports that not only to a physician, but also back to the tattoo artist, because tattoo artists play a critical role in reporting these infections that we've seen. And I think they're quite responsible. You know, they actually have a fair amount of knowledge about bloodborne pathogens and potential issues that can arise and can be a good first line of response.
Dr. Shinohara, thank you very much.
Thank you.
The practice of tattooing began thousands of years ago. The famous Iceman, who was recovered in the frozen mountains of northern Italy, displayed tattoos dating back almost 5,300 years. These simple markings appear to have been placed over arthritic joints as a form of medicinal treatment. The prevalence of decorative tattoos is currently unknown, but survey data suggests that approximately 24% of adults have at least one tattoo. Regulations surrounding tattooing are quite variable and dependent mostly on individual state laws. Similarly, tattoo artist training varies considerably from essentially no formal requirements in some states to hundreds of hours of formal apprenticeship time in others. For regulatory purposes, the FDA categorizes tattoo inks as cosmetics. Tattooing causes permanent color change to the skin through the injection of ink with the use of a sharp instrument. Modern tattoo machines utilize an oscillating needle to deposit ink 1 to 2 millimeters into the dermis. Ink formulations are proprietary, making the specific chemical composition of most formulations unknown. However, common ingredients include cobalt, iron oxide, chromium, copper salts, cadmium, phthalocyanines, and azo dyes. Tattoos are considered generally safe, as approximately 98% of recipients do not experience any problems or side effects after placement. When problems do occur, the most common side effects include eczematous reactions, contact dermatitis, foreign body reactions, and infections. Allergic reactions may be due to metals such as nickel, which may be found in the dyes. Other allergens that have been identified include dibutyl phthalates, benzophenone, and other phthalates. Anytime the skin is broken, there is a risk of infection. Reported infections after tattooing range from staph and fungal to non-tuberculous mycobacterial infections. The sources of the infections are variable, but tap water used to dilute inks has recently been implicated in one outbreak. Practitioners should culture any suspicious lesions given the risks of atypical infections within tattoos. There remains concern that tattoos may obscure the recognition of skin cancers. Melanoma can arise within tattooed skin, and therefore tattoos must be monitored carefully, as pigmented lesions may be hidden by dark ink. Furthermore, tattoo particles can deposit in regional lymph nodes, causing confusion in the interpretation of sentinel lymph node biopsies. Other malignancies, including keratoacanthomas, basal cell carcinoma, and squamous cell carcinomas, have occurred within the borders of tattooed skin. Because ink can obscure lesional morphology, physicians should maintain a low threshold to biopsy any suspicious papulonodular growth within tattoo borders. Reaction patterns, including pseudolymphomatous, granulomatous, and lichenoid, have been associated with tattoos. Histologically, pseudolymphomatous lesions often look like B-cell lymphomas, but they can also appear mycosis fungoides-like. Additionally, cases of dermatofibroma sarcoma protuberans, melanoma, and leiomyosarcoma have been described within tattoos. As long as our patients continue to decorate their skins, dermatologists remain best positioned to help and educate those whose tattoos, piercings, and other skin adornments are causing problems.